We've taught you about democracy. We've taught you about a republic, about an open society. Tonight, you are going to learn about another form of government that almost took over America in the 1930s. It failed, but it's back. It's a new form of government that 9 out of 10 of you have never heard about. It is a government that is creeping up on our shores. We will not be invaded by China or a communist government. We are being invaded from within by a certain group of men that desires this form of government that you're going to learn about tonight. The name of that government is not a democracy, not communism, Marxism, any of those things. The official name of this ideological government is technocracy, T-E-C-H, nocracy, technocracy. Let me see a show of hands of those of you that have never heard or you don't know what a technocracy is. Do you ever sit around in this nation and just say, what is really going on? What is happening in our beloved apple pie, July the 4th, America? What's happening is an agenda behind the curtain over here is taking place in the minds of men. This agenda is encapsulated in the word technocracy. I'm going to give you the definition of a technocracy, and then I'm going to explain it to where even your children will understand a technocracy. Think of the word tech, technological. How many's ever heard of the word tech savvy? Normally, someone that is tech savvy is smarter than the rest of society. They are technologically advanced, so therefore, they're smart. Now, there's another word for smart that I want to teach you tonight. It's the word elite, E-L-I-T-E. You're going to start putting the pieces together in a few minutes. A technocracy is controlled not by the people, not by politicians, but it is controlled by the smart people, the elite, the educated, the scientists, the engineers, the technologically advanced. They are, quote unquote, smart, and yet they're the dumbest people on the face of the earth. How many's ever met someone so educated that they're dumb? I meet them every day. How many's ever met somebody that's read so many books on a subject that they have forgotten the very basic things about that subject? Well, there is this idea in the world, in America especially, that science is our new religion and that the elite people are smarter than you and me. You see, when America was created, it was to be a government of the people, not of the elite. For the people and by the people, even the less educated people. Why? Because the moment you begin to take common sense away from the society, and you move the government to the men that are smarter than us, like Dr. Fauci. See, I have to be careful how I say this, but some of us were so dumb in the beginning of the plandemic that we actually did our own research. Yeah, that's how dumb we are. We actually went and researched the upcoming pandemic. We found out that 99% of everybody that gets it was going to recover. We found that out by our own dumb selves. We also heard the smart people tell us not to wear these, right? Well, we did our own research and we found out that was correct. So the small people, the little people, the dumb people, the people that are not elite, common sense, people that still say hello to their neighbors and check on one another, these people had more common sense. We stood in an airplane line and saw how we had to social distance and then sit on top of each other in a plane. But you see, because we don't have a Harvard degree behind our name, we're not qualified to govern ourselves. Now stay with me. I need you to stay with me. I realize they are not elite, Randy and Beth Biggs, good evening. But that is the term that is that they refer to themselves as elite. Now, I need you to don't leave this lesson because I'm going so deep with this tonight that you're going to be able to explain to your children what's happening here in America. Now, these elites, these technocrats, they worship and value education and expertise more than the common, hard-working, overall-wearing man. And these people believe that there are a few of our society that are still clinging to their guns and their religion. To these people, we are the dregs of this society. We keep pointing back to an old Bible. And I'm going to show you at the end of the lesson tonight the pattern that this is going in. Now listen, I pray you get the depth of this lesson. Turn on your ears now. Don't just talk. Listen. To them, we are the basket of deplorables. Because we're not as intelligent educationally as they are. Granted, they've been to Ivy League schools. They've earned the right to govern us, the hardworking man that sits on a tractor and plows a field and has more common sense about life than they will ever have. This is what you understand. You better listen carefully tonight. Denise Devereaux. This technocratic mindset is all in America. Has there ever been a technocratic government before? Yes, there has. The former government of the Soviet Union has been referred to as a technocracy. Why is that? Because Soviet leaders like Leonid Brezhnev often had a technical background. In 1986, 89% of the Politburo, which is sort of our Congress over in Russia in the Soviet Union, called the Politburo, 89% of them were engineers. And this framework, this mindset of a technocracy is even in God's church today. Because before a man can get up and even preach the word of God today, he needs to have a doctorate of divinity, a doctorate of theology, a doctorate of whatever, whoever, however, and whenever. Or he's not looked upon as a man of God like some of these other elites in the ministry. You see, what I'm trying to prove to you is we are moving gradually into the religion of education and engineering and science 89% of the Russian Politburo, nearly 90%, were engineers, scientists, elites that were so much smarter than the people. The technocracy movement is a non-political movement. Now, what do you mean by non-political? A technocracy doesn't believe in politics. Now, I know many of you hate politics, but I love politics. And I'm going to tell you why. If you remove politics, you remove representation of the people. You remove a representative that represents the people. You see, in a technocracy, there would be no Congress. There would be no representatives of the voice of the dumb people. No. The Congress would be replaced by a board of technocrats that would manage America. Because they know, they're engineers, they know what to do, and they don't need to be encumbered by the people. It happens at school boards. I was watching a school board meeting last night where parents, the people, were trying their best to speak to these technocrats, these people that sit on the school board. They were trying to have their voice heard. And the school board literally mocked these parents. I watched it with my eyes. They really looked at the parents like, please say what you've got to say. Shut up. Go back and fry something in your double wide and let us run your children. You're right, Kathleen. I like that. Engineers built the Titanic, didn't they, darling? Now stay with me. You're going to learn stuff tonight. You're not going to hear a bunch of conspiracies, but you're going to learn what's going on behind the curtain so that you can understand how and know what you're fighting against. Now, Professor Toto, I could see that happening in Russia. I could see that happening in China, but it could never happen in America. Well, you're wrong. It already did. Let me give you a history lesson. In the early 1930s, here in our beloved America, the technocracy movement began to take off. It was popular in the United States in the early 1930s. But what made it popular? What would cause freedom-loving Americans to even be swayed by the thoughts of the elite running our nation? Because the elites did back then what they're doing today. What happened in the 1930s and the 1940s? The Great Depression. And that's right. They took a problem and made it into a platform. They took the Great Depression and began to convince the little man that capitalism was the problem. That the reason people were going hungry is because capitalism is horrible and that we need to help the little man. It's always about helping that little man, and the rich people are the problem. The rich people caused the Great Depression. So as they begin to preach this fear, just like they're doing today over gun control, just like they're doing over climate change, they want to get you so afraid of tomorrow that you're willing to give them power today. You need to write that little phrase down. They want to make you so afraid of tomorrow that you're willing to give them power today. Just like during the pandemic. The numbers were astronomical, were they not? How many millions were supposed to be gone? How many? Yeah. The truth is, if they can bring that fear upon you, then they can bring Fauci in with the answers, and we would shut up and let the technocrats lead this nation. Somebody said, that is so scary, and I want to tell you why. Randy and Beth Biggs, I hope you're picking up what I'm putting down right now. Technocrats believe that Professor Toto is dumb. They believe you're dumb for watching Professor Toto. They believe you're dumb for showing up and screaming at the school board meeting. Don't you know you're dumb? And they are the elites. Well, in the early 1930s, there was a political movement that was born called technocracy. A man by the name of Howard Scott has been called the founder of the technocracy movement. He started something called the Technical Alliance in New York around 1919, preying on the fears of Americans, telling them, while they had time, let him and others like him rise up and get rid of the people's voice and let them take over and run it as engineers. Sounded like a great idea to people that were going hungry. Government will always come in and a disaster and turn it into a nightmare. You know, I'm surprised in Miami, Florida right now, where that horrible thing has happened, that they're not already trying to pass some law that you can't build buildings anymore, just like they do when somebody gets shot. You're right, Patricia. They believe you and I are dumb hillbillies. That's what shocked them when Donald Trump won the election. They were so smart that they were too dumb to see he was going to win. And they still can't get over how dumb they were. Now, why did technocracy not come to the top in the 1940s? It was on the way up. Why did it not come to the top? Because their predictions of doom and gloom fell. The Great Depression ended. Capitalism won the day, as it always does. And now all of a sudden, the American people shook their head and said, no, thank God we didn't go for that. I want to explain something to you. America will always win as long as we always remain America, a nation of individual liberty for all. Every man sovereign, every citizen his own entity, free, born free, born, and we can be dumb if we want to. We can cling to our guns if we want to. Why? That is America. And as long as America holds on to that, we'll always come out on top. So when the Great Depression was over with, all of these lies crumbled, just like when the pandemic ended. All the lies crumbled about what was going to happen. Now, all of a sudden, the people like us that refused to shut our church down, and we looked like murderers at that time. You were told on the news that we were the cult of Donald Trump, that we needed to be deprogrammed. Katie Couric said she felt so sorry for me and you. She wondered how we were going to get deprogrammed. But at the end of the day, we were right. And they were wrong. Why? Because common sense always wins in the end. See, we knew from the beginning. I told my wife from day one when they tried to put one of these on my face, I saw behind it. These eyes right here, I saw the spirit behind it. My anger was not at some little face wrapping. My anger was at the spirit behind it. It's just like the LGBT community. People think I'm so hateful. You hate those people. Are you kidding me? I have family members that are in that community. I have personal friends I grew up with that are in that community. I love the flesh and blood people. But I understand as a man of God that we're not wrestling against that flesh and blood. We are wrestling against the spiritual wickedness in high places that have taken the minds of our flesh and blood, brothers and sisters, and controlled their minds. We don't preach against those people. We preach against what's controlling their mind and using their mouths to convince us that what's controlling their mind is normal. We know better. We're fighting against those spiritual rulers in high places. Hallelujah. Thank you, Carol. God bless you, darling. We must begin to see something. I'm not against Joe Biden. I'm against his technocratic agenda. I'm not against Kamala Harris. I'm against her Jezebel witchcraft spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, don't get it twisted. I love flesh and blood, but I will call out spiritual wickedness in high places every day, no matter who that spiritual wickedness is operating through, because I can see. See, look here. I can see. Look at them. I can see. And many of you can see. We saw through it from the beginning when they said, shut your churches down. We saw what you were trying to do. And because we didn't give in, you thought of us as dumb. Well, who's dumb now? Amen? Technocracy. I want to show you what technocracy is. There are two colors on the extreme ends of the color spectrum. One color is black. One color is white. Now, those colors are individual. They have their own expression. They say something. White says purity, clean. This tells us the opposite of that. These colors speak. These colors say something. Well, when technocracy came in the picture, they had an official color, the color of technocracy. And guess what their color was? I'm going to show you a picture of the founder, Howard Scott, of technocracy. This was their color. This is the color that they wore and the color that they promoted. Look carefully at your screen. That is Howard Scott. You can see the word technocracy, that's their headquarters. Now, before you think that these are just insignificant little men on the fringe of society, your mind's fixing to be blown. That is Howard Scott. What color is he wearing? Gray. I'll show you another image real quick. This is one of their conventions in the 1930s. What color is even the American flag? Gray. Here is one of their meetings of some of their elites. Gray. This is their world headquarters sign in the 1930s. And this is also, just like all the other images, the color gray. Why do they choose gray for technocracy? As a matter of fact, there's actually an official color. If you go to the hardware store and tell them you want technocracy gray, it's the building of all the government insane asylums, the institutions, the nondescript gray. Because the image of technocracy is death. Let me tell you an interesting thing about the color gray according to Wikipedia. It says that gray is the color between black and white. It is actually a neutral color, meaning it is a color without color. Meaning there can be no individual freedom or expression, but that everyone on both sides of the political spectrum must begin to unite, amalgamate around the message of the government. And in so doing, you lose your weirdness, your colorfulness, your loudness, your boisterousness. You lose that and you come into gray, which means everyone has given up their individuality. Don't be so loud, they say. Just go along with the gray. They're out to destroy capitalism. Why? Because in capitalism, one person that works harder may outshine the other that doesn't. That's capitalism, outshining, meaning you expressed yourself. You expressed your opinion. In technocracy, you have no opinion. It is a godless concept of government. Okay, Professor Toto, I know what technocracy is now. It's a gray government where everyone gives up their individual rights to express themselves and they submit to the Faucis of the world, the elites, those that know better than all of us. But I'm really not that worried about it because it's just a fringe idea. That is where you're wrong. And that is where you're about to be educated. Let me tell you who abides by the doctrine of technocracy. A group of men that rule this nation. They are technocrats. And ladies and gentlemen, this, what I'm about to tell you, is no conspiracy theory. It is a fact that you can prove with simple Google searches. David Rockefeller. David Rockefeller believed in a government of technocracy. He believed in it so much that he created a commission called the Trilateral Commission. He did this in the year of my birth, 1973. Now, he created this commission. This is very real. There is no conspiracy here. This is public knowledge. He decided that America should lose her America First mentality. He believed that America should coagulate with three other nations immediately. Japan, North America, the United States, and Canada, and then the Western European nations. He wanted to create a commission of these three nations, Japan, the United States and Canada, and Western European nations. This commission would be put together by the smartest men of those nations, engineers, scientists. And this was to foster a substantive political and economic dialogue. The idea of the commission was developed in the early 70s. A time of great discord between the United States, Japan, and Canada. I'm going to give you some quotes now from David Rockefeller that hopefully will make you shake in your shoes and make you to wake up and see why you've got to get back to the battle and never give up on this nation. David Rockefeller said these words, "Growing interdependence." I want you to underline that word. Interdependence. David Rockefeller, a technocrat, the founder of the Trilateral Commission, said that there was a growing interdependence and that it's a fact of life of the contemporary world. It transcends and influences national systems. Y'all, if you want to know why they hated Donald Trump, because he hated this way of thinking. Here is the Trilateral Commission's way of thinking. They said interdependence, not America first, but interdependence of the nations would need to start transcending this national identity. You know, Old Glory, borders around your nation, apple pie, the 1776 commission in our schools, David Rockefeller and the elites of the world that are preparing to take over the nation believes we've got to transcend Old Glory. We've got to transcend our Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States, and we need to start looking more towards that United Nation flag with the stars in it. Here's the next quote from David Rockefeller. To be effective in meeting common problems, Japan, Western Europe, and North America will have to consult and cooperate more closely on the basis of equality. I want you to hear that. They believe that in a technological world, that we must now lose our national identity and come together on the grounds of equality. Now you tell me why they hated Donald Trump. His message was anything but equality. He said, America is the greatest. She will always be the greatest as long as I'm president. We will never apologize for it. We are number one in the world. Our ideas are better than your ideas. We believe in what we believe in, and it's the best government on earth. Donald Trump was enemy number one. Actually, I take that back. He said it right when he said, they're not after me, they're after you. Why? Because you don't believe in this hogwash of equality among Japan, Western Europe, United States, that we have to give up our sovereignty, our independence, tear down our walls, and get on an equal playing field. America's never been equal. She will never be equal, and we will never quit believing that. Therefore, until you can get rid of us, you cannot bring your godless agenda to us. We need preachers preaching against this. Where are you, preachers? Y'all need to share this with every red-blooded American. Thank you, Susan Stoneberg. I'm almost done. Hang tight with me a few more minutes, everybody. Does this new government technocracy, does it have a religion? You know, you always hear people talk about, let's not bring religion into politics, into government. Ladies and gentlemen, this technological, technocratic government has a religion. It's called science. Science. You know, that science that changes from one day to the next. You know, we find something else that proved that theory wrong that changes every day. That's their God. That's their religion. They have their own priest in the religion of technocracy. They have their own preachers. Here's what they preach. You ready? Repent for being an individual. Recycle and save the planet. But you can't do that unless you let us take over, because AOC will tell you that you're all dumb for not recycling and not doing this and not doing that. This is their message. Recycle, reuse, lest you burn. If not, you're a deplorable, you're a dummy. If you're not afraid to not wear a mask. You know, they got their priest, and they're preaching to you on CNN. They're preaching to you on MSNBC. They're preaching their religion, and I'm out here preaching against them. They believe that science is the only true religion in the world. Your religion to them is dangerous. I love what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. He said that they believe in their science, so-called. So-called science. Now, what does technocracy have to do with the day we're living in? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to announce to you tonight, I want you to write this down in your mind. There are no longer Democrats in America. No. Your grandfather was a Democrat, maybe. My grandfather was. Today, they're called Blue Dog Democrats. hardworking, loved America, loved freedom. There is no more Democrats in America. They have shifted to another party. They still call themselves Democrats, but I'm here to pull back the curtain tonight and tell you they are technocrats. This is the purpose of the impeachment of Donald Trump, because he was the dichotomous opposite of technocracy. Now, when did all of this really come into play? Oh, the 1970s. This trilateral commission is made up of the elite of America. And guess who these men chose? Single-handedly, in a meeting, they picked and chose Jimmy Carter and Walter Mondale. Both were members of David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission. They were handpicked and chosen to run for the presidency. Why? Because these men believed in the doctrine of technocracy. Immediately when Jimmy Carter became president, he appointed the National Security Advisor. You may not know this, but in America, probably the most important position in the president's cabinet is the National Security Advisor. They are the lead negotiator with the world. Guess who he appointed for his National Security Advisor? A member of the Trilateral Commission. And then later, three-quarters of Jimmy Carter's cabinet were members of the Trilateral Commission. The Trilateral Commission decided that they would take over the Oval Office, and they did. And then came Donald Trump, like a out of nowhere, by the hand of God, to stop this travesty. That's why he's got to come back. He's not finished with the work. There was no other viewpoint other than the trilateral hijacking of the executive branch. They wanted to foster a new world order in their literature, something different than the American mindset. They wanted interdependence among nations. Interdependence. U.S. flag-loving people are in their way. Then they wanted free trade by taking down the tariffs and the barriers between Japan and Europe. Why do you think Donald Trump hated NAFTA? Why do you think he hated NAFTA? He knows it's Trilateral Commission. He knows it's the total opposite of the American way of life. They hated him. They hate you for supporting him. That's why they tell YouTube and Facebook, all of these are members of this. Do you not understand? They'll find every excuse in the world to strike this channel. They want us to be gone and quit being a thorn in their flesh and just become gray. They don't know me. I'm loud. And I'm going to stay loud. I'm going to always be loud. Now, where did all this start, you ask? Where did all this start? It started with a book, and I'm going to close now. And what I'm fixing to teach you may be the most important thing I've taught you tonight. Hang tight. Write this in your notes. It might be good for you to order this book if you can find it. It's almost impossible to find now. It's a book by a man by the last name of Brzezinski, B-R-Z-E-N-Z-S-K-I. The title of the book is Between Two Ages. Between Two Ages. This is the Bible of technocrats, the modern Democrat. This is their Bible. In this book, Brzezinski teaches that the human society would go through four stages before it comes into utopia, kumbaya, the Garden of Eden. Let me read those stages. You might want to write them down in your notes if you're a good student tonight and you're taking notes. He said, first of all, humanity was going to go through, since Jesus Christ died, starting this 2,000-year age, before we go into the next age of Aquarius. And don't be alarmed by that. You need to do your research. We're entering on the cusp of the cycles of, I know where we are. Just don't be afraid of that. It's the truth. We're entering the 2,000 years that are coming to an end on the Hebrew calendar. We're now entering into another age that he said that we're now between those two ages. And he told technocrats, just hold tight, he said, the population since Jesus Christ would go through four stages. Number one, religious, narrow-minded, and massive ignorance. That's in his book. That's the book that David Rockefeller, Jimmy Carter, all of these people, this is their Bible. He said first, after Christ died, humanity would go through this religious, narrow-minded, massive ignorance. By the way, if you identify as religious today, that's how Brzezinski sees you and all of his disciples. Narrow-minded, massively ignorant. All right. But he said then they would evolve into nationalism, identifying by their nation, proud to be a Briton or a British, proud to be an American, proud to be whatever nation you identified with. There would be nationalism. After the religious part would come nationalism. And that's true. That's happened. But then he said the third thing would happen. And that's about where we've been now from the 70s. Marxism, he said, would begin to take over, maturing man's universal vision away from individuality into corporateness. And then he said, we will finally come to the fourth stage of our existence called the technotronic age. Go read this for yourself. It will scare you to battle. It will scare you to battle to preserve the American ideas and the way of life. What is the technotronic age? He explains it like this. National humanism, or rational humanism rather, on a global scale. Humanism, no more God, no more church. Matter of fact, let's shut the churches down. Do you not see? Hello? Do you not see? Shut the churches down. Get rid of the religious influence. Make them all a bunch of idiots. And let's move into rational humanism. What is humanism? Where there's no more God, but humans are now God. Humanism. It's all about me, my happiness. What makes you happy, darling? I'm going to tell you what. God don't care about what makes you happy. He cares about what makes you holy. Why? Because happiness for one man might be molesting a little girl. Anybody worried about your happiness? You grow up, become responsible, matured, and become duty, like duty first. Happiness is fleeting. It changes every day. Oh, if I could just lose 50 pounds, I'll be happy. You lose 60 and you're still not happy. But you see, humanism is all about the end result of your personal happiness. Well, if I leave this husband, I'll finally be happy. You've already left four, darling. Why don't you just stick around and do your duty and be a good wife and a good mama? Or man, why don't you be a good daddy and a good husband? Quit looking for happiness and find your duty. And then you'll find happiness in fulfilling your duty. But in humanism, it's all about your happiness. And in the technotronic age, there must be a blending away of the red, white, and blue. And we must come into a gray area. not necessarily communism or the American way of life, but such a blending that you really don't know the difference between America and China anymore. That's where we are. I hope you're hearing the voice of God through my voice tonight. That's where we are. No more nation state. Oh, no, 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 no. No more nation state. No more nation state. No more. No, 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 no. But an international mindset. They must scrap our love for the flag and the Constitution. Capitalism must go. And notice what he says. Notice this carefully. The illusion of sovereignty must be annihilated. Wow. What is sovereignty? Build that wall. Build that wall. What you heard at the Donald Trump rallies, what you heard in every city and every state was the heartbeat of the soul of America. Sovereignty. We wanted it back. We fought with him. We didn't fight for him. We fought with him to bring back America first, American sovereignty, to make America great again, not just one of many. I love you, Bangkok 2112. Thank you, Jay Fitzarelli. God bless you tonight. Somebody said, yell it, preacher. Let me close. Richard Gardner, 1974, was a technocrat. He was addressing the Trilateral Commission. And he didn't understand, the Trilateral Commission didn't understand why they could not get this technocracy to take hold in America. And here's a direct quote from Richard Gardner to the Trilateral Commission. This is not a conspiracy. Toto, don't do those. This is facts. That's why this show's going to be here for a long time. You can always come here for the truth. Here's what he said. You ready? He said, no, we cannot do this head on, creating a technocracy. But we must do an end run around national sovereignty, ending it, not totally, but piece by piece. First, we take away their Ten Commandments in the 1960s from their courthouses and their schoolhouses. Let's do it piece by piece. Let's take their religious mindset all the way away. Let's empty their churches, see? Let's start there, and then we'll go after kneeling while they do the national anthem. People not even taking part in that anymore. And now you want to know why they hated Donald Trump? I hope he hears my message tonight. I hope somebody gets President Trump this message. Somebody watching me now knows somebody that knows somebody. I could care less if he even knows my name. Toto don't even have a name. I'm just the servant of the Lord. But I want that man to know, even what I don't believe he understands, that God raised him up. Hallelujah. That God raised him up to stop this. To put a stop to this swelling tide on the shores of America. I don't even know. I don't even think he knows what God was doing with him. He said, we can't do it head on. We got to do an end run around. You're right, Phoenix Arts. I believe that. He said we got to do an end run around their national sovereignty. They got to quit flying flags in their yards. They got to get them flags off their southern trucks riding around town. You ought to put a flag on your forehead. Thank you, Justin. God bless you, Justin. Y'all, I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I feel that God is using this little Mississippi preacher to wake up a nation. And so many others beside me, but very few people are able to explain it the way God has used us, so you can understand what we're fighting against. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something now that's going to shock you. Do you know that 9 out of our 13 United States trade representatives since 1977, we've had 13 of them. Do you know that 9 out of 13 of them were all members of the Trilateral Commission except for Donald Trump's? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah! Wake up, beloved America. Toto's Army, listen to me. You're not just another YouTube following. You're not just another people that's following, see who's got the latest. You're a people that God's called to understand. The Bible said he gave them the spirit of understanding. You are getting the understanding here of what's going behind the curtain over to your left while you're over here mad at what's going on in front of your face. Look at what's going on in the background and grab your apple pie. Grab your American flag. Fight for a president that's still president. Stand up for truth in this nation. Hallelujah. God's raising an army that's about to march through the land. We did it. We marched through the land in 2016 and 2020. They didn't know where we came from. They thought we was fat on apple pie sitting on our recliners, but God stirred our hearts and we went to battle and gave our president more votes than any other president in American history. Don't you believe the lie that we are the minority? We are the majority, but we believe the lie of the church that you don't bring politics and religion together. Honey, if you don't bring them together, you don't have a black robe regimen. You don't have a fifth column. You need to hear my teaching on that. Look on this channel. It's called the fifth column. We must raise up in America and take